Luke chapter 24, the two disciples on the road to Emmaus after Jesus is risen from the dead. The disciples are slow to believe. Some of the women, Mary Magdalene, they've seen Jesus, and now Jesus is going to meet these two men on the road to Emmaus. I preached through this passage on Easter morning of 2023, so roughly a year and a half ago. And so I didn't want to use the same outline because I was sure you would all remember it. And I had to look it up. I didn't. Anyway, it was titled The Road to Joy, you know, and they're walking and they start out discouraged and depressed, and the end result is they realize they're eating with Jesus. He is risen from the dead. They too see him. But whether we remember it or not, I didn't want to preach the same message. So I'm going to have a little bit of a different focus this morning as we go through this passage, and the focus is on Jesus. In one of the Bible studies I'm going through, we're going through a book on attitudes. And in this book, he is referring to the nation of Israel in the wilderness and their attitudes of complaining, things like that. But he describes life often for believers is like that. You're dwelling in the wilderness. You feel like you're all alone. It's kind of dry and miserable. And you're wondering, what you fruit of the Spirit, joy and peace, and where is it? You just feel parched and you're walking in the wilderness. Not the way it should be. It's not the way living as a believer in the presence of God, with indwelled by the Holy Spirit of God, right with God, it's not the way it's supposed to be. And Jesus here this morning, he gives us a glimpse of who he is, who God is, and gives us a little picture of what it is to walk with God, the road with God. He shows us who he is, who God is, and we see that our Lord Jesus Christ is amazing. God is amazing. We see as he walks with these disciples that this is a picture of what your life as a believer ought to be, walking with Jesus. He would be your friend and walk with you as he walked with these two disciples on the road to Emmaus. You'll notice in my outline, I use all these terms of, I use God, not Jesus. God walks with man. God listens to man. And I did that because of Jesus' own words. He said, he who has seen me has seen the Father. What we see Jesus do reflects the Father, reflects the Holy Spirit. He shows us the nature and character, and he shows us a description of God. This is who God is. And so, that's why I said the road with God, not the road with Jesus, just so you don't narrow it down too much. It is the road with Jesus, but this is what life is like as you're on life's road with God. And then second of all, the points start with God. It's about the focus this morning is on God. It is amazing that God does these things with us. This is who God is. God would walk with you. God would listen to you, instruct you, all these points we're going to go through. So let's begin reading Luke chapter 24, and I'm going to start in verse 13. Jesus is risen from the dead. They don't all know it yet. Verse 13, now behold, two of the disciples were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. I believe it's northwest of Jerusalem. So they're traveling, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained, so that they did not know him. And he said to them, "What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?" So these two men, they're walking to Emmaus. They're talking about the one they thought was the Messiah, missing part of the scriptures, Isaiah 53, etc., and they're sad, and Jesus himself meets them and is walking with them. He draws near. Jesus, we read that in the end of verse 15, Jesus himself drew near and went with him. Went with them. Jesus draws near. Isaiah 55:6 says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Jesus shows us that God is a God who draws near. He would draw near to us. And then he went with them. He walked with them. This describes who our God is. He is a God who would draw near to us and walk with us. That's what Jesus does. The picture, he's showing us who God is. That's why he came into the world, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, so we could see God. In Deuteronomy 31:6, as Israel was about to enter the promised land, Moses describes God, and he says to the nation of Israel, "He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you." Jesus shows us here that God is the one who goes with us. God is the one who literally goes with us. Jesus literally was walking. He walked with his disciples during his entire time, during his ministry time here on earth. He walked with his disciples. So he's literally walking. We see he literally walked with Adam and Eve. We know in the garden they heard the sound of the Lord, God, walking in the garden in the cool of the day. It seemed God walked with Adam and Eve in the garden. When we read about it in Genesis 3:8, though, they hid themselves. God draws near. Man goes away. Man hides. We have a God who draws near. And figuratively, we're talking about walking in friendship, in fellowship, talking, laughing, listening, all these things we're going to go through. We read in Genesis 5:24 that Enoch walked with God. I'm sure it meant he walked with God in friendship, in fellowship. I don't know if it meant he literally walked with God. That might be too. But it was Enoch walked in fellowship with God. In Isaiah 41:8, God describes Abraham as, "Abraham, my friend." He said to Moses in Exodus 33:17, "I know you by name." Jesus himself said to his disciples in John 15:15, "No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." our God, Jesus shows us, our God is a God who goes with you. He is a God who walks with you. They didn't know. They didn't know Jesus was walking with them. They didn't know. It says their eyes were restrained. They didn't know God was walking with them. Therein may lie the heart of the matter, is that we don't know that God is walking with us. Maybe we don't believe what we see about God. Jesus shows God is friendly. When's the last time you heard that? How often do you hear that? God is friendly. They're sad. He walks alongside with them. He asks them, "What? Why are you sad? We have a friendly God." Maybe you're thinking right now, well, he doesn't walk with me. God doesn't walk with me. I want to remind you of what Jesus said, because what these disciples, these two disciples on the road to Emmaus experienced, you have better. That's what Jesus said in John 16:7. "It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." Jesus is talking. He's walking with these two on the road to Emmaus. We know he's going to ascend in 40 days. He's going to ascend to heaven, and he's going to depart. But Jesus says, it's better for you that I go away, because something better is going to happen. If I don't go away, the Helper does not come to you. And in 1 Corinthians 6:19, we read about that Helper, the Holy Spirit. And what do we read about him? He is in you. Not next to you, in you. God is walking. He dwells in you. That's why your body is literally the temple of the Holy Spirit. You want to talk about literally walking with Jesus? Your body is, when you trust Christ as Savior, your body is literally the place where God dwells, like the temple was when the glory of God rested on the Ark of the Covenant. That's your body now. That's why it's called the temple. That's how big of a deal this is. And Jesus says, if I go away, yeah, maybe I'm not walking next to you. You're going to have something better. Now I'm going to be walking in you. God dwelling in you. Jesus was right. It's better. So when you think, well, God doesn't walk with me, we know if you've trusted Christ as Savior, he dwells in you. So maybe you need to pay attention as to whether or not you're ignoring the one who's dwelling in you, whether you're quenching God the Spirit, as the Scripture says, or grieving the Holy Spirit. Because if we're doing those things and we feel like we're walking in a desert, it's not because God isn't walking near to us. It's not because the Holy Spirit of God isn't indwelling us. The problem is because, just like Adam and Eve, we're hiding. We're going away from God. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. James 4:8. If you're a believer and you don't feel like you're walking with God like these two disciples were, you don't feel like you're walking with Jesus, you don't feel the fellowship, I would challenge you to search him out, to consume yourself with learning of him and drawing near to God. Is he's there. We see it over and over in God's word. Don't be infatuated with other things. Focus on the Lord. Focus on the one who is near. Well, second of all, we see Jesus not only walked with these disciples, we see he listens to them. Now, he starts, he says, hey, what is this conversation that you're having with one another as you walk and are sad. You see the care of Jesus right there. What's going on? Why are you sad? Verse 18. Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem, and have you not known the things which happened there in these days?" First of all, note this. The crucifixion of Jesus was not just another criminal put to death. The whole city was in an uproar, and the whole city was talking about what was going on. That's why they're amazed that how in the world can you not even know what has happened here? Verse 19, and he, that's Jesus, said to them, "What things?" So they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty indeed in word, before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive." See how they already kind of changed the story, because you can tell, because they doubt the women. They saw a vision of angels. They didn't see the angels themselves. They must have seen a vision, right? They couldn't have actually seen angels at the tomb. So they're already kind of hedging, you know, and in their story, in their repeating of it. But anyway, they came saying they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. But him, that's Jesus, they did not see. So Jesus, again, he asked these questions. You can see point number two. Jesus walks with them, and he's listening. He asks them what's wrong, and he listens to them. Jesus knows what's going on, obviously. He's risen from the dead. This is not a story. These women are telling you that the disciples, that the men who are listening to weren't believing. Be easy to start talking about that. Men not listening to what the women are saying and not, right? We could... Anyway, he listens to their entire story. He listens to them, what they're worried about, what they're discouraged about, why they're sad. They thought he was the Messiah, and now he's dead. They've forgotten the words of Jesus, "In 3 days I will rise again." The point is, Jesus cares enough to notice. Jesus cares enough to notice that they're sad. You think he doesn't notice that you're sad? That would contradict what we see of our God. He cares enough to notice. He knows. He asks them why they are sad. He cares enough to listen. He shows he's patient. He lets them, he knows they're off base. They're wrong. They should already be at the point of joy. They should be looking forward to his, but he listens. He has patience. He listens to them. And we see this repeated elsewhere, this concern of God to hear us. Remember Daniel? He's praying, and the angel and Gabriel comes to him and says, "At the beginning of your supplications, the command went out, and I have come to tell you. For you are greatly beloved." Tells that to Daniel. At the beginning of your requests, your supplications to God, God was listening. The command already went out. Abraham, remember when the Lord came by and was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and he listened to Abraham. Sodom and Gomorrah ended up getting destroyed, but he listened to Abraham's, what Abraham thought and Abraham's concerns. We see in other passages in the New Testament here, 1 Peter 3:12, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. You see that? Though he's open to the righteous. He's open to their prayers. 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Just like he just gives us another example. This is who God is. He listens. He cares. And once again, maybe the problem is we aren't communicating. We know Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my Lord, in my heart, the Lord will not hear. Sometimes that's the case. But sometimes I wonder if God's ready to listen and we dislike talking to God. It's agony. It's a chore. It takes so much time. It's so boring. This passage isn't about prayer, but Malachi 1:13. The context there is actually about the priests and the sacrifices being offered to the Lord and the incense and that type of thing. That's the context. But God says to those priests, you also say, oh, what a weariness. They're offering their sacrifice to God, and the priests are like, oh, morning and night, every day, it's the same thing. Cut the throat of the lamb. We got to clean it all up. What a weariness. Well, we would never be so foolish. I mean, those horrible priests. We would never say something like that about prayer. Oh, what a weariness. Oh, I got to spend time in prayer. I can't stay awake. It's embarrassing, isn't it? Embarrassing. We have a God who would listen to us, who invites us to speak with him, and we're like, oh, what a weariness. Prayer. That's a reflection on us. Reflection on God. We have a God who would stoop to us and he'd say, talk to me. Talk to me. Why are you sad? What's going on? What's wrong? What a wonderful God. And let's see him and say, man, what am I doing? Boy, I need to take advantage of this. God would listen to you. He listens to you. Jesus shows us that. Let's keep going in verse 25. Now we're going to see he's going to give instruction. He's going to help them out. And then he said to them, oh foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? It's easy to see now. We get to read these two on the road to Emmaus. They didn't get to see this story. We get to see it. We see Christ die. We see the end. We see the resurrection, all the witnesses. We see how it fulfilled scriptures. They're in the middle of it. They think he's still dead, and they haven't figured out how does Isaiah 53, the suffering Messiah and the one who must die, how does this work into our king who redeems Israel? They thought Jesus was going to be the one who redeemed Israel. That means to bring Israel to the kingdom where everything God promised about the nation of Israel, and that's what they're thinking, and they weren't connecting that he's going to redeem Israel and all mankind through his blood on the cross, and the redemption was much bigger than just establishing the kingdom. He's saving mankind, and Jesus, verse 27, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. He doesn't say, you idiots. I mean, he does say, oh, you guys are being foolish. How come you don't believe it all? But he doesn't say, I'm done with you. You know, I don't have time for someone who can't do their homework. You know, you should have gotten this by now. Nope. He instructs them. He continues walking with them, and he takes all this time, and he goes through all the scriptures. They got a lengthy lesson on the scriptures that pertained to Jesus and how he would suffer, how he must rise again. He showed them how it was all in the Old Testament. Said the scriptures told you about this. Well, first of all, there's a note here. God has given us the scriptures. He's given us this instruction. Jesus is telling them what they already had. He's telling them, hey, here's where it is. He didn't say, I'm going to give you a new. Let me tell you something new you didn't know before. Nope, I'm just going to point. He took them where? To the scriptures. When he refuted Satan, he went to the scriptures. You have everything you need here. He instructs us. And so Jesus, when they needed instruction, what did he do? He took them to the scriptures. And all the way through, and he shows them how all, everything that pointed to him and how the Christ, the Messiah, must suffer and die and rise again. It was all in the scriptures. Psalm, the first few verses in Psalm chapter 1, might be my favorite psalm, for sure one of my favorite psalms, talks about the scriptures. And it starts out, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. All right? You want to be the blessed man? The blessed man is not the one who gets their instruction from the ungodly or who goes down the path of sinners or sits with the scornful. Rather, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And that's where Jesus took him, to this, the law of the Lord. This is what's going to show you what's real. And then it goes on to say, he shall be like a tree. The man who does that, the man who delights in the law of the Lord, kind of like prayer, who doesn't call it a weariness. Oh, what a weariness, this law of the Lord. Nope, he delights in it, and in his law he meditates day and night. What's going to happen? He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Doesn't sound like a tree in a desert. Doesn't sound like a tree in the barren ground. This is a tree. He's going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. And whatever he does shall prosper. Jesus takes them to the scriptures. We have the same instruction. Jesus points them there, and he does it patiently, beginning at Moses and all the rest of the scriptures. Jesus himself said in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, come to me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and what? Learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will have rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Familiar verses that Jesus said. Here, these two disciples are learning of him. They're learning from him. And he invites us all to do the same thing, to walk with God the same way these two walked with Jesus on the road to Emmaus. We have Jesus' words to learn from, to have rest for our souls, knowledge and wisdom, so we can be a fruitful tree, rest for our souls, and joy in a Messiah who not only redeemed us through his blood, but the risen Messiah, the one who's alive, the one who conquered death and hell and the grave. Let's keep reading verse 28. We've seen God walks with man. What a wonderful God. God listens to man. God instructs man. In verse 28, then they drew near to the village where they were going. And he indicated that he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Very similar to Jesus walks with us, he abides with us. It said they invited him, and when he indicated that he would have gone farther, and they asked him, abide with us, and Jesus said, okay. And he stayed with them. He stayed with them when asked. He eats with them. Remember the Christmas story? Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, translated God with us. That's who our God is. He would abide with us. Jesus shows us and shows us God with us. Jesus was criticized in Matthew chapter 9 because he was abiding with publicans and sinners, tax collectors and sinners, because he was eating, just like he ate with these two disciples, because he was eating and abiding with those evil people. It's a credit, it's a glory to God that he would be so kind and so gentle and so gracious as to abide with us. What a wonderful God. We see this throughout the scriptures in the Old Testament. We're on Sunday night, we've been going through the story of Gideon, and in Judges chapter 6, Gideon said, hey, wait for me, let me prepare a meal for you, and the Lord said, okay, and he waited, and he didn't end up eating with him, he burned it, he had him put it on the stone, and he burned it to show him, yes, you are abiding with the Lord, you are with the Lord right now. But he waited, and he accepted that invitation. We see with Abraham, when he came to announce he's going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and Abraham said, hey, wash your feet and rest, and let me prepare a meal. And God came and ate with God and two of his angels, the angel of the Lord, pre-incarnate Christ, Jesus, before he became flesh, eating. It's the same thing, abiding with Abraham. In Revelation 3:20, we read this very familiar verse. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. This is talking in the idea of repentance or taking care of sin. He's talking to the church. You need to fix these things. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. That's who our God is. It's amazing because we know who we are. We're the ones who need to repent. In Revelation, he's talking about that. You've got some things where you're not abiding with me, but I stand at the door and knock. And I'm ready to have restored fellowship with you. I'm ready to have fellowship with you. John 14:23, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. We have a God who abides with us. And then lastly, God shows himself to us. God reveals himself to man. Like we get to see God. We see that in chapter 24 when they finally figure out who Jesus is. He took the bread, he blessed and broke it in verse 29, verse 30, or in verse 30, then in verse 31, then their eyes were opened. Remember, previously their eyes had been restrained. Then their eyes were opened and they knew him. And he vanished. from their sight. And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scripture to us? Didn't we see, he's right, this is, look at the scripture, look at what's true. Did our not hearts not burn within us? And verse 33, even though the hour was late, that's why they constrained Jesus to stay with them. It's a late hour. Now they can't contain the excitement. So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them when he broke the bread. God, this is why Jesus came. God with us. God shows himself to us. He's not a distant God who doesn't desire fellowship. He reveals himself to us. John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Earlier in verse 1, we see the Word was with God and the Word was God. We see God dwelling among us full of grace and truth. And when you're walking with God, it can't end anywhere but with joy. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. Psalm 16. 11. This is the fruit. Remember that indwelling Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the fruit of the Spirit, joy. Walking with God ends with joy, just as these two walking with God, they saw that, yes, this is Jesus. He is, in fact, risen from the dead. Too many believers don't see God who would walk with them, and they're in the wilderness. Being a Christian, to some, is knowing the truth. Knowing the truth about God. This is true, I accept it. And they don't live in fellowship with God. God, Jesus shows here, it's more than knowledge. It is a relationship where he dwells with us. He fellowships with us. This is how kind and gracious and caring, what a wonderful God we have. Seeing him, dwelling with him, talking to him, listening to him, walking with him. It's a tragedy for a believer to walk in the wilderness. This is God, not a distant God. Jesus shows us God is not remote. He's not cold. He's not indifferent. He is a God who is friendly, who is loving, who is kind, who would walk with you, who would listen to you, who would teach you, who would stay with you. The one who would bring the joy of eternal life and eternal fellowship to you. We see from these two that, just like them, we should be rejoicing in God who walks with us. The question is, will you walk with him? Will you walk with God? This is why Jesus went to the cross. Because of the sinfulness of mankind that began with Adam and Eve hiding from the Lord, their sin. Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins. He was punished for our sins because he's a God who would walk with man. There's no other way, because man's not qualified to walk with God. We're sinful. And Jesus paid the price for our sins on the cross. He was punished for the wrath of his Father for our sins. Maybe you haven't taken that first step. Maybe you haven't had your sins forgiven through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for you when he took your place. You can call out to him right now and say, Lord, I'll take it. Jesus paid for my sins. Lord, I'll take it. I want to be right with you. If he took my place, I'll take him as my replacement. But if you've done that, what a disappointment. What a tragedy that we know these things about God and we wouldn't walk with him. We'd walk according to the course of this world. We would seek joy in some other way in which it will never, you'll never find success. You'll only find temporary joy. Well, we have a God who would walk with you. And if you're in the wilderness, if you don't think you don't feel like you're walking with Jesus like these two were, I would encourage you to find him, to find out why, to seek him out until you find that you are walking with the Lord again, because something's wrong and it's something between you and the Lord, because he's ready to walk with you. You better search that out, because this isn't his plan. The God we have is the one who brings us to him and walks with us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that, Lord, we see you, and we see you as in your Son here, as we see Jesus walking with these two. We get a picture of what kind of a God you are. And Lord, we know your holiness and your mighty power, and we see these other things revealed in scriptures, and when we see how incredible you are, so incredible we can't even grasp it. And then you're humble and you're friendly, and your Son would die for us. You would send him to die for us. You would, that Jesus shows us he's a God who would walk with us, that you're a God who listens to us, who instructs us if we'll listen. We thank you that you're willing to abide with us, that you're willing to make us right so that we can abide, so that we're qualified to abide with you through your own Son's shed blood. We thank you for revealing yourself to us. Now, Lord, we just ask that you would help us to see, that you would open our eyes just as you opened the eyes of these two on the road to Emmaus, so that we can see you and so we can walk with you. And we want to praise you this morning for being this kind of a God, that you would reach down to us, that you would be our friend. It's a credit to you and your kindness and your compassion. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.